सवाइधिया योग विपाक तीव्रया पद्मकोशे स्फुरितं तदित्प्रभम् तिरोहितं साहसैवोपलक्ष्य बहिस्थितं तदवस्तं तद्दर्श
which was like brilliant like lightning, and in which Dhruva Maharaj, in his mature yogic process, was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus, Dhruva was perturbed, and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his heart. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Because of his mature position in yogic meditation, Dhruva Maharaj was constantly observing the form of the Personality of Godhead within his heart. But all of a sudden, when the Supreme Personality disappeared from his heart, he thought that he had lost him. Dhruva Maharaj was perturbed, but upon opening his eyes and breaking his meditation, he saw the same form of the Lord before him. In the Brahma Samhita 5.38, it is said, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Velochanena. A saintly person who has developed love of Godhead by devotional service always sees the Lord's transcendental form of Shamsundar. This Shamsundar form of the Lord within the heart of a devotee is not imaginary. When a devotee becomes mature in his prosecution of devotional service, he sees face to face the same Shamsundar he has thought of during the entire course of his devotional service. Since the Supreme Lord is absolute, the form within the heart of a devotee, the form in the temple, and the original form in Vaikuntha, Vrindavan Dham, are all the same. They are non-different from one another. The form of the Lord, which was brilliant like lightning, and in which Dhruva Maharaj, in his mature yogic process, was fully absorbed in meditation, all of a sudden disappeared. Thus, Dhruva Maharaj was perturbed, and his meditation broke. But as soon as he opened his eyes, he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead personally present, just as he had been seeing the Lord in his own heart. Today we are reading Canto 4, Chapter 9, Text 3 of Srimad Bhagavatam. This chapter is entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita there are four kinds of pious men who approach him. Those who are in distress, impoverished, inquisitive, and who are seeking the absolute truth. Srila Prabhupada explains that Dhruva Maharaj falls in the category of one who
is seeking wealth in order to solve the problem of his distress.
He told his mother, I have been offended by my father.
And his second queen, this is intolerable. I want a kingdom greater than my father, even greater than my grandfather.
His mother, Suniti, instructed him to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead by going to the forest, for he could fulfill everyone's desires. He went to the forest with great determination. Because he was approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord reciprocated and sent his eternal servant, Narada Muni. When Narada Muni saw that Dhruva Maharaj was genuinely sincere, he instructed him in the process of devotional service. Through piety, one is not qualified for Krishna consciousness, pure devotional service. However, through that piety, Krishna may reciprocate and send one to the association of a great devotee. Srila Prabhupada defines piety as one who approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead, either in distress, in poverty, with inquisitiveness, or with wisdom. In the association of Narada Muni, Dhruva Maharaj accepted the path of pure bhakti. Hearing the preaching of Narada Muni, Dhruva was convinced. He worshipped the deity of the Lord, which he made with his own hands out of the clay. He was fasting. The purpose of fasting is to reduce our consciousness of the body so that our full consciousness can be absorbed in Krishna. He was constantly chanting the holy name and meditating on the beautiful form of the Lord as described by his Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Sorry. He performed such severe austerities. But his austerities were not his qualification. His qualification was that he was submissively carrying out the order of his spiritual master. He was fixed in meditation on the supreme form of Lord Vishnu. Because he was so absorbed in Krishna, Krishna manifested within him. He was able to do the impossible. First month, every 3 days, he ate some kapita fruits which are generally only acceptable by the monkeys in the jungle. Second month, he only ate the dry leaves and grass on the ground every 6 days. Third month, every 9 days, he would take little water. Fourth month, every 12 days, he would take one breath of air. And by the time the fifth month came, he was so empowered, completely absorbed in chanting the name of the Lord
and remembering the form of the Lord, that he was standing motionless like a pillar on one leg. Only one toe was touching the ground. And that tiny 5-year-old child assumed such a weight that he pushed down half the world, the earth planet, with one toe. It was not his weight. But because he was so absorbed in Krishna, Krishna empowered him with his own weight. And because he was holding his breath that fifth month, closing all the doors to his body, by the arrangement of Krishna, he actually withheld the air for the whole universe. And the big demigods, who were big controllers, they were suffering. They couldn't breathe. How Krishna's teaching them a good lesson. Vayu is controlling wind, but he had no control to even breathe. The demigods are controlling the rain and the sun. But ultimately, Krishna is Ishwara Parama. He is the supreme controller of all controllers. They were helpless. And in their helpless condition, they understood there was nothing they could do to save themselves. People worship demigods, thinking them to be supreme, so that they would get their material desires fulfilled. But here we see, on the authority of Shastra, that the demigods, they are completely helpless without the mercy of Krishna. Krishna tells us in Gita that whatever the demigods give, it is only by his grace. He is the cause of all causes, sarva karana karanam, the source of everything. Even though the demigods are so learned, they could not understand why we can't breathe. They couldn't trace out the cause. So they prayed to Krishna in great desperation. Then the Lord appeared and told them that it is this little 5-year-old child, Dhruva Maharaj. He is performing this tapasya. But I will go to see him. And I will request him to stop. So you be happy and go back to your abodes. So the demigods offer their obeisances to Lord Vishnu and return to their respective homes. Meanwhile, in the Madhuban forest on the bank of Jamuna in Sri Brajdham, Dhruva Maharaj was controlling the universe. And he didn't even know he was doing it. He was so absorbed in Krishna that it was just naturally happening. He was empowered. Srila Prabhupada explains to us, this is the nature of someone who surrenders to Krishna. Krishna can manifest through them in such incredible ways, and that devotee may not even know how it's happening. The current of transcendental power, knowledge, and mercy can flow through one who surrenders to Krishna. It is Krishna's power. The devotee is an instrument. As soon as we think anything is our own, that is illusion. And Prabhupada calls it the conditioned tendency to cheat. The devotee understands that whatever spiritual advancement I have and whatever I could give to another, it is all simply the mercy of Krishna. Punar mushtaka bhava. If I become proud, he can take it all away. He can make a lion into a mouse or a mouse into a lion. That is his own independent free will. So Dhruva Maharaj was controlling the universe in a sense, and he also had great control over all the demigods and all living entities. And he didn't even know he was doing it. And he didn't know how he was doing it. He was just fixed in Krishna. And Krishna was manifesting his will through Dhruva Maharaj to get all the demigods to surrender. And also to show the world how he empowers one who is always remembering him. To always remember Krishna, to never forget Krishna. All the rules and prohibitions of the scriptures are servants of these two ultimate principles. That is what Narada Muni taught Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj was in ecstasy, the ecstasy of love of God. He was seeing the beautiful form of the Lord within his heart. So very much attracted by that darshan, he attained the state of samadhi. Krishna is all attractive. Om apavitra pavitro ba sarvabhastam gatopi ba yasmaret pundarikaksam sabayabhyantarasuchi. Dhruva Maharaj was completely purified by his remembrance of Krishna. To the degree we fix our mind, absorb our consciousness in Krishna, to that degree we become pure. Because Krishna is all pure. Akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udarati tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. Whether one has all material desires, whether one desires liberation, or whether one has no material desires, if one approaches the Supreme Personality of Godhead under the direction of his pure representatives, one achieves the perfection of life. One achieves Krishna. Dhruva Maharaj, in his meditation, which was truly an ecstatic trance, he found complete satisfaction. There was the darshan of the Lord who was manifested in his heart. It was not an imagination. At the beginning of stages, he was imagining what Narada Muni instructed to him. Narada Muni explained to him the nature of the Lord's form. So he was imagining that and chanting the holy names and following strict regulative principles. Gradually, he became so purified that it was no longer an imagination. The Lord actually personally manifested himself within Dhruva's heart. Actually, the Lord's already there. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kabunoi Sravanadi Suti Cheti Kuriya Yuga. Love of Krishna is dormant in the heart. By associating with great devotees and chanting the holy names, that love is awakened. Premanjana Churita Bhakti Balochanena. When that love is awakened, then we can actually perceive the Lord who is always situated within the heart. If we're not seeing the Lord in our heart, we are in a sense spiritually blind because he's there. We close our eyes, we only see darkness. Dhruva Maharaj, with his eyes closed, he was seeing Vishnu, Narayan, such an enlightened state by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So here Dhruva Maharaj had all of his desires fulfilled. He no longer had any inclination for the kingdom of his father, his grandfather, or his great-grandfather. He had no desires except to please the Lord, to serve the Lord. Then the Lord disappeared from his vision. And he became shocked. He was in utter despair. He had achieved the rarest jewel of the Lord's darshan, and then he lost it. He was in terrible separation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he went to Gaya and accepted diksha from Ishwarapuri, on his way back at Kanai Natashala, he had a darshan of Krishna. Krishna appeared before him. Mahaprabhu went to embrace him, then Krishna disappeared. And from that moment on, he was completely immersed in feelings of separation, searching for Krishna, crying for Krishna everywhere. When he returned to Navadvip, he told the devotees what he called the sorrow of his heart. He said, I wasted my life in the pursuit of mundane knowledge and fame. And then I found the most precious treasure of Krishna. But he left me. Then the Lord fell down to the ground, his hair disheveled, crying, weeping, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? So Dhruva Maharaj, when the Lord disappeared, his meditation broke and he opened his eyes in that spirit of separation. And he found that same identical form of Prishnigarbh Vishnu that he was meditating upon in his heart standing right before his eyes. In this very beautiful purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining how the form of the Lord within the heart that we meditate upon, within the temple, within the holy name, and the form of the Lord that is eternally existing in Goloka Vrindavan or Vaikuntha, there is no difference between them. How is this? Krishna is all-powerful through his various energies, internal and external. He can fulfill his every desire. He is independent. And one who worships him with devotion. Krishna gives that devotee the power to see him, to know him. Therefore, Krishna says in Gita, Bhaktya mama vijanati yavan yashtasmi tatvataha. It is only by devotion that I can be understood as I am. Bhaktya tvananya shakya aham evam didorajama. There's no other way. Through the process of performing sacrifices, practicing mystic yogic siddhis, cultivation of knowledge, one may elevate oneself in this material existence to higher and higher states of consciousness. But Krishna only reveals himself. He only gives pure love when he is pleased. One of the characteristics of pure devotional service is Sri Krishna Karshini. Also Sudurlabha. It is very, very rare to achieve. Why is it so rare? Because it only comes when Krishna gives it. You cannot attain bhakti. It's a gift. And Krishna doesn't give it very easy. Because after he gives it,
then he becomes subordinate to the control of that devotee's love. So he will only give pure devotional service to one who is very special, very dear, one who he completely trusts is an actually surrendered soul.
Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Das Dasanu Das.
One who really, really is the servant of the servant of his servant. Like Dhruva Maharaj. He was the servant of Narada Muni. How was he serving? He took his order as his life and soul. That is service. The real essence of service to the spiritual master is to take his order as our life and soul. The words life and soul, we use them, but we should think about what it really means. It means it sustains our life. We have nothing else. To take the order of the spiritual master as one's life means it's more precious, more valuable, more urgently required than the air we breathe. Srila Prabhupada uses the example, if you're underwater and you're drowning and you can't get out, your life depends on some air. That's how we should be depending on the order of the spiritual master. Like a drowning man is depending on air. Like a starving man is depending on food or water, because they sustain our life. If you're under the water and you're about to die, you're not thinking about who offended you or about how to pay your bills or about how to better your material situation. You're simply thinking about that breath. That breath is your life. And when we make the order of the spiritual master our life and our soul, that means our eternal identity, we should feel an eternal servitude toward the Vaishnavas and Krishna. So because Dhruva Maharaj took the order of his guru as his life and soul, And what is Guru's order? To always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. And he teaches us the process by which we can do that. Krishna appeared within his heart. And then he appeared outside. And as Prabhupada is saying, there is no difference. Similarly, for all devotees, when we develop, by the grace of Guru, Vaishnava and Krishna, genuine, sincere devotion, then Krishna manifests the greatest of all treasures. Dhruva Maharaj prayed, according to Hari Bhakti Sudodai, that I was looking for the broken pieces of glass of the wealth and the power of this world, but I have found the most valuable diamond of your darshan. Everything is potentially spiritual. Krishna has his two energies, the spiritual energy and the material energy. Actually, Krishna's energy is one to him, but they manifest in different ways according to how you approach him. Yegatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham. According to our consciousness, Krishna reveals himself.
Prabhupada would use the example. If you're using the microphone to sing songs about love, romance, or politics and revolution, then the microphone is just material elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, combined in such a way to make this microphone. And by using it for that purpose, it just facilitates you to become more entangled in the bondage of karma. However, that same microphone, if we see it, that this is Krishna's property, this is meant for Krishna's service. We speak Bhagavad Katha, Hari Kirtan, and that microphone, we're actually seeing it as Krishna's energy. And it becomes spiritualized through Krishna consciousness. This is actually the art of living. To see everything in relationship to Krishna. And to actively utilize everything in the loving service of Krishna. For one who lives by this principle, Krishna says, for one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, I am never lost, and he is never lost to me. In this way, we can see Krishna everywhere. This is how pure Vaishnavas see. Spontaneously, naturally. They're seeing every situation as an opportunity for devotional service. A materialistic person is seeing every situation as an opportunity for sense gratification. A yogi who has mystic powers is seeing everything as an opportunity to lord it over. So when the heart is humble by devotion, we see Krishna everywhere, in the sense that we see every moment in every place the opportunity to please Krishna, to express our love for Krishna. In this regard, there is no difference between the deity in the temple and Krishna himself. Arche Vishnu Shiladir Gurushu Naramatir Vaishnavi Jati Budhai. Prabhupada warned us that if you approach the deity as stone, actually you'll just see stone. Because that's how Krishna will reveal himself to you. But if you approach the deity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, your heart will be attracted. It will be charmed. You'll see Krishna. He's revealing himself according to the nature of our faith. Faith is the very substance of spirituality. To protect and develop our faith is the greatest need in spiritual life. When we associate with people who are faithless, it destroys our faith. When we associate with devotees who really have faith in the truth, then that association will awaken deeper, greater, stronger, and steadier faith. Prabhupada told us we should see through our ears. Because what can the eyes see? The eyes cannot see anything in a spiritual way because the eyes are material. Material cannot see spiritual. And similarly, the mind is material and the intelligence is the material. And the false ego is material. How can any of these things perceive anything spiritual? However, when we hear from the scriptures and from the great acharyas, and we develop faith in their words, That faith spiritualizes our mind, intelligence, and senses. It purifies the ego. And then when we see according to that faith, we can see things as they are. In the beginning stages of bhakti, we worship the deity because we have faith in the words of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. But through the process, Krishna is pleased. And then it is no longer a matter of faith. We see with full realization that Krishna is the deity. The deity is Krishna. It is Krishna's body. He's accepting my love, my devotion, through the mercy of the spiritual master. And when we meditate on Krishna, when we're chanting the holy name of Krishna, that same Krishna is there. And he will be revealed according to the level of our faith and our devotion. In one sense, it can be said that bhakti is a matter of developing faith. When we attain nishta, or steady faith, then that is the result of anartha nivritti. Our heart becomes greatly purified as our faith develops. In this world, the whole material energy is trying to challenge our faith. In Kali Yuga, Maya presents most sophisticated techniques, philosophies, ideologies to somehow or other divert our faith. Thus, the association of devotees is essential. Srila Prabhupada said, for one who thinks they can be Krishna conscious without the association of devotees, that person is simply insane. We need the association. And what is association of devotees? It does not mean just being around people with tilak and shaved heads and saris. It means engaging in the 9 processes of devotional service together. Hearing the glories of the Lord, chanting the glories of the Lord, remembering the Lord, rendering service to the Lord. When we unite to follow these 9 processes of devotional service, to hear and chant, that is actually association of devotees. That will sustain and develop faith and devotion. Then we realize how Krishna, by his own inconceivable, independent nature, can fully manifest himself in the very thought of remembrance of him within our heart, in the sound of his name, in the deity, in the scriptures, in hearing the glories of his pastimes. Actually, as we become more purified, when we hear the pastimes of the Lord, we're actually witnessing it through sound, because the sound vibration is the reality of that leela. It's not that we need to see it with our eyes. We could see it through our ears. This is what Prabhupada means by see through the ears. And that's why an advanced devotee can hear the leelas of the Lord, could hear the philosophy of the Lord again and again and again. He never tires. It's never redundant. Because he's experiencing it. If Krishna appeared before you to dance on Kaliya, and you were watching him had his beautiful dance on the hoods of Kaliya, incredible vision, wouldn't you be in ecstasy? Then the next day, he appears to you dancing on Kaliya. Are you going to say, Krishna, I saw that yesterday. Let me see something else today. Not like that. Show me again, 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 for the rest of eternity. Let me see this. Satyavrat Muni, he's meditating on the Leela of Yashoda Mai binding Sri Gopal with the rope of her love. How Krishna's weeping and crying, begging his mother to be merciful. And he's not saying, my Lord Damodar, let me see this Leela. But then after that, I want to see something else. I don't know what you call in India, but in America, when television shows play the first time, then everyone likes to see. But then when they play the second time, the same episode, it's called a rerun. And reruns are not very popular. Because I've already seen it. Prabhupada explains, what's number one song today? No one's going to care about in 10 years. What to speak about the next millennium? Whoever the greatest singers and stars of today, they may be remembered for 50, 60 years. During that time, people gradually forget. Sometimes a little revival, forget. But in a million years, is anyone going to ever heard that these people existed? But Krishna's names, Krishna's pastimes, they're ever fresh. They've been chanted since the very beginning of creation in this universe. They're chanting eternally in the spiritual world. Therefore, Satyavrat Muni is saying, I do not want any material opulences. I do not want the mystic cities. I do not want liberation. I do not want elevation to Vaikuntha. I just want that this childhood Leela of you with Yashodamai will forever be reenacted in my heart. That's love. So when we hear the Leela of the Lord, when we hear the Bhagavad Gita, as we, the test that we're actually making real spiritual advancement is there's an increased thirst to hear it again. Mahaprabhu was in this mood. When Gadadhar Pandit would recite Srimad Bhagavatam, he would recite this story of Dhruva Maharaj, which we're reading today. He would go through all the slokas with little explanation. And Lord Chaitanya, after the completion of the whole story of Dhruva Maharaj, most of us would say, okay, that's done. Let's go to the next story. Mahaprabhu said, read it again. He read it again. Read it again. Lord Chaitanya would not let him go on to the next story until he heard this story of Dhruva Maharaj minimum 100 times in a row. In ecstasy. He could hear this story for the rest of eternity and be in ecstasy. Because it's a story of Krishna and his loving relationship with his devotee. So when we're new devotees, everything's new. So everything is very exciting and adventurous in Krishna consciousness. That's natural. That's special mercy upon new people. But then as you're around some years, you start realizing your anarthas because it's no longer new. I heard it before. This Radhanath Swami, he just keeps saying the same things. Prabhupada said, whatever little you know, just repeat it. That's preaching. So whoever we are, we have to just repeat whatever little we know. But if we're repeating the words of Srila Prabhupada and the great souls, then there is some real service to humanity. So Srila Prabhupada, he explained like this, that the sign of spiritual advancement is we become increasingly more eager to hear. Not just new things, but even all the things we've heard for the last 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years since we've been a devotee. This Hare Krishna mantra, Haridas Thakur chanted it 300,000 times every day his whole life. And when he became old, he wasn't able to chant 300,000 times a day. So he wanted to leave his body. There's no use to live. Mahaprabhu himself said, "You're old. You don't have to chant so much." "I can't live without chanting. I must chant." That is devotion. Whatever Krishna does is transcendentally spiritual. Devotee could read Bhagavad Gita millions of times. And if we're actually eager to read, Krishna will reveal himself more and more and more. He'll reveal the higher and higher truths of every sloka. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he was Radhakund, they wanted him to speak very high leelas of Sri Radharani and Krishna. But he spoke first verse of Bhagavatam for 1 month. Hare Krishna. And he was in ecstasy. For such a great soul as this, glorifying Krishna according to the time, place, and circumstance, he was experiencing the highest rasas of Goloka. There's a story in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat which very nicely reveals what Srila Prabhupada is speaking in today's purport of how Krishna, when he appears within our heart, when he appears within the deity, when he appears within his name, he's one and the same. What are you speaking? What discussion? They are guessing which story. In the Antyalila, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was approached by Gadadhar Pandit. Gadadhar Pandit, he said that some time back, years ago, I was initiated by my Guru Maharaj, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And he gave me this mantra. But I am not clear about what is this mantra. Can you speak it for me again? And Mahaprabhu, he said, Pundarik Vidyanidhi is a pure devotee. He's your spiritual master. He said, one must not hear the mantra again, ever, from anyone else. You should approach Pundarik Vidyanidhi. He will clarify it for you. And I believe he will be coming very soon. So after some days, Pundarik Vidyanidhi did come to Jagannath Puri. And Mahaprabhu, knowing that he came, he was in such ecstatic love, crying out, "Oh, my father, you have come." The very dearest friend of Pundarik Vidyanidhi was Swarup Damodar Goswami. When they met, they embraced and they laughed. They were so very, very happy. They were constant companions in the service of the Lord. This coming Friday, there is a festival called Odan Shashti. Very, very big festival in Jagannath Puri. It's a day when winter starts to create more and more coldness, so they offer Lord Jagannath warm garments. In Puri, this is such a festival. Lord Chaitanya and his associates, they were together and they were watching this festival in so much ecstasy. There was mardangas and kartals and various types of horns and flutes and stringed instruments. Hundreds of instruments playing beautiful music. And the pujaris were offering Lord Jagannath beautiful silken garments. Some were blue, some yellow, some orange, some white, some red, some green. Hundreds and hundreds of these garments were being offered. And then they were offering many, many articles of flowers. Flower bracelets, flower crowns, flower belts, flower ankle bells, flower garlands. They were offering very, very sweet fragrances and scents to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the devotees, they were floating in ecstatic bliss, seeing this wonderful festival. And it just continued. These offerings went on from the beginning of the evening throughout the entire night. Then the pujaris, after Jagannath was just royally dressed with the most incredible articles of devotion, they offered him bhoga. They offered him the 16 articles of puja paraphernalia, lamps, and arti. Then the Lord and his devotees decided to go home. In Gambira, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to take rest. And Swarup Damodar Goswami and Pundarik Vidyanidhi, they decided to take some prasad. So they went to take prasad. As they were walking, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he had a doubt in his heart. He said to Swarup Damodar Goswami that this festival today, it's just not right. They were offering Jagannath unwashed garments. They still had starch in them. Until a garment that is new with starch is washed, it is considered contaminated. If one even touches such a garment, he has to wash his hands. But they were offering these starched, unwashed garments again and again and again to Lord Jagannath. Swarup Damodar Goswami, he said, there's nothing wrong with the way they celebrate this festival in this country of Orissa, because that's the tradition, how it's always been. Besides that, Lord Jagannath is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's above all rules and regulations. He's above all prohibitions. He's independent. He can do whatever he likes. If he wants to wear starched garments, then there is no offense in offering it to him. Pundarik Vidyanidhi said, yes, I understand this. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is independent. He's the controller of everything. He could do whatever he wants. But that doesn't mean the servant has such a right. Just because the Lord is independent, does that mean the servant is independent? The servant is not the controller of all controllers. No one has the right to imitate the Lord. Therefore, we must follow these rules and regulations. How can we be putting this unstarched garment on the Lord? Why will that please Him? Because we want to do it. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, but the king, Maharaj Prataparudra, he and his whole dynasty of kings since time immemorial, they have been having this festival. It's the culture here. And the Lord is supreme. It is His desire that this festival be. Swarup Damodar Goswami repeated, same message. He may be supreme, but the servant should never think he's supreme. He may be independent, but the servant is not independent. We must live by the article, by the instructions of the Shastras, and these garments are contaminated. In this they were talking, and they were laughing. It was not a serious discussion. It was a very humorous discussion, because actually both of them had great faith in the Lord and His devotees. But still, that slight doubt was in his heart. So after taking some prasad, they returned to Lord Chaitanya's residence, and then they both went to take rest. Pundarik Vaidyanidhi, as he was sleeping, he had a dream. He saw Jagannath and Balaram approaching him, staring at him with immense anger in their eyes. Hare Krishna. Can you imagine Jagannath staring with anger in his eyes? Pundarik Vidyanidhi was terrified. Then Jagannath began to beat him with his hands on his face. And Jagannath, standing next to the Lord, also started beating him in the face. They were beating and beating and beating, slapping and slapping and slapping. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi was weeping and crying. He fell at the Lord's lotus feet. He said, please, please, why are you doing this? I surrender. Please forgive my offenses. What offense has I done that you are punishing me in this way? The Lord spoke with a voice that was angry as thunder. He said, you have offended my devotees. You do not have faith in my servants. If you do not have faith in my servants, you do not have faith in me. If you criticize my devotees, you criticize me. You criticize my servants for offering me starched, unwashed garments. Therefore, you must be severely punished. And he continued to slap Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Pundarik fell at the Lord's place, placing the Lord's feet on his head, and said, I beg forgiveness, I beg forgiveness. You are so merciful, you have punished me. From today on, I will have complete faith in your servants. Please forgive me. The Lord said, because you are dear to me, I will forgive you. Don't ever do this again. Then the Lord smiled, and along with Balaram, he walked away. In the morning, Pundarik Vidyanidhi woke up and found that both of his cheeks were swollen due to the beatings of the Lord. He offered his obeisances to Lord Jagannath and Balaram immediately, thinking, how merciful. You have punished me in such a wonderful way just to teach me a good lesson. He was grateful. Every day, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Pundarik Vidyanidhi would meet together. So as per their regulation, Pundarik Vidyanidhi went to the place of Swarup Damodar Goswami. Swarup Damodar Goswami said, "Why this morning you weren't at Jagannath's temple?" He said, "I have something to tell you." "So what is it? What happened to you? Why your face is all red and beaten up? What happened to you?" He said, "That's what I have to tell you." He said, "Yes, last night, when we had our argument, you were correct. I was wrong. And just to prove to me, Jagannath came to me and chastised me for criticizing his servants for offering these unwashed garments. And he began to beat me with the rings on his fingers, making these marks in my face out of his unlimited causeless mercy. The Lord has punished me for my offense." Swarup Damodar Goswami was really floating in bliss. He was dancing in ecstasy. He said, "How fortunate are you? Never have I heard or seen of such mercy as this, where the Lord appears in a dream to punish you." "You are certainly the recipient of the Lord's great love." So in this dream we find that Lord Jagannath in the temple, Lord Jagannath in the vision within the heart, Lord Jagannath in the form of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they were all one and the same. And because of Pundarik Vidyanidhi's pure love, he was having direct, spiritually and even materially tangible relationship with the Lord. So Vrindavan Das Thakur explains in this regard that this wonderful, wonderful narration, which is actually the last story in the entire Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, it ends with this, warning us, the very last statement of Chaitanya Bhagavat is warning us, don't try to judge Vaishnavas. Do not criticize devotees. Even if they appear to have some defect, even if they appear to be making some mistake, if they're dear to the Lord is accepting. And also to teach the nature of a Vaishnav. When he's punished by the Lord, he doesn't retaliate. With all humility, he surrenders with utter gratitude. And how the Supreme Personality of Godhead protected his devotee, protected him from these thoughts, negative thoughts toward devotees. That was really the Lord's great love for Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. The Lord protects his devotee. A neophyte devotee may think that protection means that I won't get in a car crash, that my business will not go bankrupt, that my family will live long, long lives. We think that this is protection. Protection of the body. Protection of our property. Here we find a very higher level of protection. That the Lord protects our devotional service. Sometimes by punishing us. sometimes by rectifying us. When we come to the class and hear Srimad Bhagavatam, actually we should open our hearts. And when we hear knowledge that challenges our conditioned nature, we should take that this is the Lord coming to protect me. He has come to smash my illusions, my misconceptions, my attachments. He has come to protect me from Vaishnava Aparad. So the Lord comes to protect the devotee. But like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, when he comes, he's grateful to accept. The Lord may also speak through another Vaishnav. Sometimes, without really being conscious of the gravity of what we're doing, we're diverting our attention away from bhakti. Or we're speaking in certain ways or acting in certain ways that is not conducive to Krishna consciousness. So the Lord within the heart of another Vaishnav may come to correct you. Will you be like Pundarik Vidyanidhi and be grateful? Or will your ego take control? How you're speaking like this to me? What do you know? Who are you? If it's proper knowledge, we should understand. If it's the words of Parampara, it's the words of God. Krishna's coming to protect his devotee. So when we're worshipping the deity, when we're associating with Vaishnavas, we should actually be serving them in such a way that Krishna will reveal himself through them to protect us, to deliver us. Dhruva Maharaj, he is having the beautiful darshan of the Lord. And as we will read in the future verses, the Lord is going to send him back to his kingdom to get married, to have children, and to be the king. Dhruva Maharaj, after becoming purified, completely gave up the desire. But the Lord wanted him to do the same thing. He went to the forest because he wanted to be king. When he gave up the desire to be king, then the Lord said, now you go be king. Actually, this is how we should accept our service too. We shouldn't simply be attached to a position. If we're attached to position, that's an anartha. We should be attached to simply to serving the will of the Lord. I have seen in relationship with our beloved Guru Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada and some of his disciples, that way they would really want to do something, and he wouldn't let them do it. Then they'd give up the desire to do it. Then Prabhupada would say, do it. Are you serving me or are you serving yourself? For a neophyte devotee, to dovetail our propensities of what we like to do, that is a way of purification. But a higher level of surrender is simply to do whatever Krishna wants. Is there any questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Maharaj, we heard that Dhruv Maharaj in 5 months reached from a level of piety out of being in need of a kingdom to a level of samadhi. But somehow there we find that he was not much in association of devotees when he was in
the monastery. He was always in the association of devotees. Srila Prabhupada, when he was in New York City, he wrote in his diary, there is not another devotee of Krishna for 10,000 miles from this place. But Prabhupada said that I never for a moment was away from my spiritual master because I was executing his order. Dhruva Maharaj was 24 hours a day at every second with Narada Muni, because he was remembering his instructions and he was wholeheartedly serving his instructions. That was his power. He was Dhritavrata. He had that determination. So people like Dhruva Maharaj and Prabhupada, they can do like that. They have that determination. But if we're not completely fixed, Vyabhashayat Makabhudhir Ekeha Kuru Nandana Bhushaka Hinantastha Buddhayo Vyabhashayanam, if we're not fixed with resolute purpose, undeviatingly, in meditating on Krishna and serving the order of Guru, then we must have the association of devotees. Because they keep reminding us. Internally in his heart, he was always associating with Narada Muni and with Krishna. Bharat Maharaj, he fell down because he wasn't doing what he was doing on the order of Narada Muni. He went to the forest, which was the right thing to do, but without the association of devotees, he was meditating also. But he was distracted by that little deer. But Dhruva Maharaj, he went to the Madhuban forest to be alone on the order of Narada Muni. If the spiritual master tells you to be in total seclusion and be in the forest all alone, if he sees it, you're able to do it, then by serving that instruction, you'll always be with your guru. Huh? Narada sent him to Madhuban. He told him exactly where to do it, how to do it. So therefore, he was simply executing the order of the spiritual master. Therefore, he was always with his spiritual master. But we can't sentimentally manufacture the conclusion that I can be alone and I'm always with my spiritual master. The question is, did your Guru Maharaj, is he ordering you to be with devotees or is he ordering you to be alone? If he's ordering to be the devotees and you go alone, then you're deviating from the spiritual master. Therefore, his presence is not there. So he was serving faithfully. Therefore, Guru was always with him. Vaishnavas were always with him. He had the whole parampara with him there in Madhuban forest. But Srila Prabhupada have ordered all of us to remain within the association of devotees. He has ordered of all of us to do whatever we can to serve his society of devotees. This is a preaching mission. And we need unity for preaching. So by living in this state of consciousness, then we will always be with Prabhupada. We'll always be with all the acharyas through the association of devotees. Does that answer your question? Is there any other questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions this Shamasundar form, meditation on the Shamasundar form.
Mm-hmm.
So, my idea or conception or understanding of this is a two-handed form of Shamasundar and Vrindavan.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that Dhruva Maharaj is meditating on a four-handed form. Mm-hmm. And having that darshan. So how can we understand this?
Because Prabhupada speaking to us as the descendants of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our Ishtadeva Shamsundar. That is Lord Chaitanya's great mercy. In this age of Kali, he is giving access to the all-inclusive supreme form of Godhead, Shamsundar, the Lord of Vrindavan. That is our meditation. And the simplest and most effective way of meditating on Shamsundar is by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
Dhruva Maharaj was instructed by Narada Muni, this is in Satya Yuga, to meditate on the form of Prishnigarbh, the form of Lord Narayana Vaikuntha. So, the same principle that Dhruva Maharaj followed, Srila Prabhupada in this purport is applying that principle to how we should be pursuing the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.